We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien. He's extraordinaire. Attorney, lawyer, barrister, you name it, he is it. Extraordinaire. From Chestnut Cambro. Now, Jeff, there's a lot going on in the world, and one of the things that caught my eye over the weekend, and I think we heard about it last week, Minneapolis City Council voted unanimously to disband the police department. And what's interesting about that is three of the members of the city council are getting private security at the cost of $4,500 per day, which means just over 10 days, that's 45 grand. 100 days, that's, what, about $250,000. So they'll be spending $1.5 million if this continues on just the three members. And you know others are going to want that too. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Bill has it? I need it. It's actually, right. What is it, Lisa Bender, the president of the city council, is Jeremiah Ellison, one of the other ones, and there's a third one too.
Yeah, I can't remember who the third one was. But yeah, and the other part is they're at the same time that the mayor is asking the federal government for money to rebuild the city, the portion of the city that he let burn during the riots.
There is no way the federal government should give that to him. And anyone with any sense, you know what? You put yourself in this mess, figure a way out of it. Because this is a mess in Minneapolis. Right. And there are businesses.
This is just hypocrisy. I mean, to take a vote to, now what they've done is, just to be clear, they voted to amend their city charter to remove the requirement of having
a police department.
The police department. That's what's the barrier right now in terms of the vote. They can't just tomorrow sign a resolution and abolish the police department. It's in their city charter. So the residents will have a say in this. This will be on the ballot, I believe, in November for residents to vote on. Now, I thought a couple weeks ago, my gut was, I think the residents will vote to abolish the police department. In the last 2 weeks, with all the violence that has taken place in Minneapolis, I don't think that it's going to pass. But it's a political thing. These city council members they can say, well, we tried, but we couldn't get it passed. So, this is what politicians do sometimes. But it's a foolish idea to think that you're going to have that. And you're already seeing businesses, either closing down. I saw Cowboy Jack's
and Cowboy Slim.
They're closing down.
Yeah, they're leaving.
Yep, because of the violence. I have clients that are located in Minneapolis that are looking to get out. And it's all about what has taken place in the last several weeks. You know, it was hard enough for a small business in Minneapolis with the increase to the $15 an hour minimum wage and the increased paid time off. But to throw on top of it, abolishing the police force and an increase in violence and this mob rule type of behavior, nobody's going to put their livelihood at risk for that.
Well, here's the problem they've created, though, and multi-level problems. One, businesses will leave. They lose their tax base, so they can't pay anyone or anything. And police, there's a number of police already who have retired or are just leaving the force because they don't want to be part of this. And I don't blame them. It's a horrible situation in that city, and you cannot believe that every single cop is bad. And people have been praising Arredondo. He's in charge of that department. They can't keep shifting it off on the union, which is what they're doing. They're blaming the union for the problems they're having. Any type of good police chief would find a way to work around that and make sure that things go better for his department, or he becomes much tougher on his department. So I don't buy that. The problem is with the city council, the mayor, and Arredondo. But
if you talk to anybody in law enforcement, any sheriff, any police chief, they all deal with a unionized workforce. But Minneapolis seems to have the problems all the time.
Yeah. Well, they're not the only ones having problems. You've got in the Washington, D.C., there's a move afoot to get them to be a separate state. And it's all democratically led. The Democrats in the House of Representatives voted to make them a state in Washington, D.C., because they need to have representation. Well, what that means is they get two senators and a member of the House because they want to never lose the Senate, and they figure they'll pick up two senators for a square. 68 square miles, I believe, is Washington. If they're worried about representation, and by the way, they would exclude the White House, the Capitol, and federal, where the monuments are. So what they do is do that and give them to Maryland or Virginia.
Exactly. That's a good point, Bob. That was the initial reason why we have the District of Columbia. It was not supposed to ever be a state where people were residing in it. It is intended to be just that district for, you know, the federal government officials to conduct business. And it just has grown and grown and grown. And you're right. It's a guaranteed. It's a way of the Democrats guaranteeing that they'll always have control. And this is something. This is what frightens me about this upcoming election. Is, you know, Donald Trump is far from a perfect candidate. I wish he'd put his Twitter down, and he says some horribly stupid things even when he's on a mic these days. But unfortunately, the fear I have is that having lost to him, Democrats like to have control. And I fear that they're going to do everything possible if Joe Biden is elected president and they have the Senate and the House, they are going to do everything possible to ensure that they never lose control again. That'll be D.C. as a state, Puerto Rico as a state, eliminate the filibuster in the Senate. They'll pack the Supreme Court. They'll do whatever they can to make sure that they never have to be in a minority again. And that is really scary. That's what everybody wants to criticize Trump for being a fascist and a dictator. That's what fascists and dictators do.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if they break up California. There's been talk of that for a while. You're right. They'll pick up six new Senate seats. In addition, there'll be 106 senators, and they will never lose control. And that, right. I mean, to me, it's transparent to everyone, unless you're a Democrat, then you're cheering it on. Because they're tired in control.
You know, I fear that with everything else going on, I fear that we're on the precipice of a second civil war. And I know they'll never do it, but one thing that would be a wonderful gesture would be for Donald Trump and Joe Biden to jointly address the nation. And I would say do it from Appomattox Courthouse, where the last civil war ended, and just say, talk about, you know, we're not perfect. We have, you know, our two, you know, we both disagree. We'll have heated rhetoric, but at the end of the day, we're not going to do this again. Our country.
Here's the problem.
I don't think they can pull it off. Either one of them have the character to pull it off, but Trump would be something that would be needed.
Trump would never share the spotlight, and Biden would be an embarrassment because he cannot speak. This is why I don't. These polls are
absurd. Well, if you put them both on teleprompters, they'd be okay.
Yeah, but you know they're both very from the script, because I've seen Biden does much better on teleprompter, but he also wanders when he's on a teleprompter. Yeah. I don't understand, you know, how people could just say, oh, he's my candidate. He really is.
Yeah, I think do think that if you get to September, October, there's some talk that they're going to try to figure out how a way to wiggle out of the debates. But if they do have debates, I think at that point you'll see where Joe Biden's cognitive ability is. And you watch old clips of him. He's certainly not what he used to be.
Even when his used to be wasn't that strong either, but that's another point. Woodrow Wilson, you're all hopped up about this, a fellow Jerseyan.
Well, all these tearing down of statues and monuments, and particularly, you know, looking at, it started out with the Confederate soldiers and generals, and I have no problem with a lot of that because
I don't know either. Why
we are celebrating.
Hey, they were traitors to the country.
Exactly. But then it's gone so far. The extreme is now, well, George Washington owned slaves. And if you look into the history of it, he inherited them and he let them free as soon as he legally could do so. And they go, it's Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt monument being taken down at the Museum of Natural History in New York. And now they're saying, well, Lincoln didn't really, he didn't really want to end slavery. He just had to, you know,
but he
so now
did.
We're canceling. We've now canceled every member of Mount Rushmore, so I don't know what that holds for the future of that monument. But the Woodrow Wilson thing, this is a good. I think there are some times where it's good to go back and have a critical look at history. And Woodrow Wilson is one. This guy screened a movie called Birth of a Nation, which was like a promo film for the Ku Klux Klan. He did that at the White House. He introduced Jim Crow laws into the civil service. But most importantly, one of his greatest transgressions is he was the one that oversaw the implementation of the income tax. So my view is, if we're going to take the current reasoning, is not only do we have to take his name off of, you know, public policy buildings at Princeton University, but if everything that everybody does because they're somehow racist, it needs to be questioned, I think we need to be looking at the income tax.
Take it away. It was Woodrow Wilson inspired.
Cancel the income tax and the Federal Reserve while we're at it.
I'm liking the sound of that.
So,
Jeff, you know what? Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back because we want to talk about a little sports item, a few sports items as well. Be right back with Jeff O'Brien.
If you have been laid off during the COVID-19 crisis and you have sustained a work injury in the past, you might be entitled to workers' compensation benefits right now. Bialke Law is open to serve you and answer any questions you might have about workers' compensation. Call Dave Bialke at Bialke Law and talk to him about your injury, even if you're off work right now. Dave Bialke will get you the benefits you and your family need within as little as a few days. There is no out-of-pocket cost to you and no in-person visits required. The entire process can be done from the comfort and safety of your home. Even if you're unemployed and receiving unemployment benefits, you could be eligible for workers' comp over and above unemployment. Call Dave Bialke today at 763-571-2410 or look him up at bialkelaw.com, bialkelaw.com.
If you or someone you know has a plumbing, heating, or air conditioning issue, there's only one place to go. Saber Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. This is Bob Sansevier, and Saber Heating is my go-to place for plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. And if I have any questions, I just pick up the phone and call, or I go to saberheating.com. Saber has a great offer for you. If another company tells you you need a new air conditioner, you get in touch with Saber, and they will send a technician for free, no cost, and let you know if you actually do, because sometimes other people are wrong. Any issues, whether, again, it's plumbing, heating, or air conditioning, go to saberheating.com, SABRE heating.com, or call 763-473-2267.
Also, right now, Saber is offering a terrific deal. You get 10% off a new air conditioner if you mention the BS Show. And that's on top of other great discounts and deals offered by Saber Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
We are back. This segment brought to you by Bialke Law, the only place to go if you have a workers' comp issue, and Saber Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Also, Solidarity Health Share
and Outlaw Feed, a great source for cold milled flax supplement for your animal. My wife Mary uses it with our horses and loves it. Go to outlaw-feed.com.
We are back with Jeff O'Brien, a little sports-related three and out. Now, Jeff, I'm not surprised. I mean, I guess it's the right thing to do. Baseball cranking up again this week, and we'll see games within a month. But the Twins have sidelined two of their coaches for the season over COVID, Bob McClure, who's 68, and Bill Evers, who's 66. They're not going to be involved with the team at all. And also, the radio announcers are not traveling with the team, Corey Provis or Dan Gladden. So they're really battening down. And I still don't know or haven't heard, because I talked to a coworker last week, because I still write once a week for the Pioneer Press. Nobody knows what the media is going to have and what role the media will have in covering these games, if they can cover the games and go into the locker room. So that's going to, or clubhouse. Right. So, I mean, it's very much up in the air.
Yeah, and I read somewhere, I think it was Derek Falvey announced that he said some Twins players had tested positive for COVID.
Yes.
They identified who it was, but
they shouldn't be playing baseball. They should have just said, you know what, we're just gonna move on to 2021, because players are gonna get test positive, and then what, you're gonna quarantine the rest of the team. You shouldn't have them going to hotels or restaurants because they've all been exposed. I mean, teams could there could be a point where teams are shut down anyway, and I just don't think it makes any sense. And the World Series that they have, or whatever they have, as they call it, if they could even call it the World Series, it's going to be a game of attrition. Or if you have your star player, several star players that are down with COVID during the postseason, you're not going to win. It's the team that keeps guys the healthiest that will have the best chance to win. So I'm not.
Yeah, I think. We'll have to see. I think there is some point. There's some argument to be made for having some sort of normalcy returning, just for overall, you know, morale. But, you know, we're seeing some, I think what we're seeing with the COVID-19 outbreaks, particularly in Texas and Georgia and Florida, or not, sorry, not Georgia, Florida and Texas. They've shut down some things again, but here definitely the cases are on the decline, even after all of the protests. There's been a few clusters here and there. You know, this is the thing though, Bob, is that the science on this just isn't settled yet. Are we looking for herd immunity? Are we looking for, nobody really knows. The only thing we know about this virus is that it isn't as deadly to the general population as we originally assumed it would be. I think there's a lot of people that have strong immune systems that they may have several days where they feel like crap, but they are able to bounce back. And then of course they have the antibodies, and we keep hearing things over and over again that they think that there's more positive cases than thought of originally.
It's 10 times more than that have tested. But you know what?
Yeah.
Right now I see no reason to go for a test because I feel fine. And my family does. I mean, that's the thing. But you could feel fine, have it, and not even know it. So I'm sure the number is much higher than it's been.
Yeah. And the spike in cases, you know, the media is really kind of focusing on the spike in cases, and they have their own agenda, of course, but they, you know, they aren't focusing on the fact that it's coming because of increased testing, and the mortality rate is actually dropping as a result of this. You know, Minnesota has been in single digits for deaths for several days now. It's the first time it's been this way since April. So there are positive things to be pointing out. We are winning the battle against this thing, but you know, it's just, I think in certain situations, you know, if baseball thinks that they can do, I know there's a lot of town ball teams playing. I know that Governor Walz gave the okay for town ball to resume here. You know, I have a lot of bar and restaurant clients. They're taking steps to make sure that when you're in close quarters like that for a period of time, that there are appropriate precautions taken. So I think the name of the game is just kind of keeping smart. Don't just assume that everything's normal again. Just be smart.
Well, I think part of it, maybe finally, the nursing homes aren't taking in as many COVID-19 patients. That's making our most vulnerable sick.
Yeah, and that was a huge policy mistake on the part of Governor Walz, Governor Cuomo, any other governor that
Jersey governor
to do that was a horrible decision to do that. And it's part of why the death numbers are what they are.
Now we got to move on here to Cam Newton, now a Patriot. Looks like he'll be the Patriots' starting quarterback. Incentive laden contract. He is no Tom Brady. I mean, he can make some great plays.
No, he's not. But I'm kind of excited to see what Belichick and his staff do with him. You know, Belichick has always been about the system, right? The system. We can trade anybody out and bring somebody else in, and we'll just keep rolling. And I'm just from a fan standpoint, I'm curious to see. I'm kind of excited to see how they're going to pivot and go from a guy with a skill set like Tom Brady to a guy who's got a very different skill set in Cam Newton. Certainly not the arm that Brady had, but certainly a little bit more mobility, especially at his age. So, and you never know with these quarterbacks. You know, a fresh start can help. And Cam definitely needed a fresh start from Carolina. He had fallen out of favor, and they're going to go with Teddy Bridgewater as their quarterback this year. So we'll just see how Cam does. But I'm excited for it. I think it was always rumored that he was going to land with the Patriots from the moment that he was released. And so it's just a matter of it finally happened, and now let's see how it plays out.
I'll tell you one thing: I'm not picking him in fantasy football because I'm just not sold on it. But there's one other story we need to mention for our three and out. Mississippi lawmakers voted yesterday to take the Confederate flag out of the corner, so like in the upper corner of the flag. Mm-hmm. And why it's been in there this long is amazing. And that's a sports-related story because sports played a part in this. The NCAA was really going to crack down. They were not going to allow any championship events to be held there, and it just is something that should have been done a long time ago, and it's about time they're getting around to doing it, and it's just absurd that it's even there. Jeff, we need to wrap up here. Thank you so much, Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone, and we will take a quick break, and the BS Show will be right back.